Good morning. A couple of announcements. John Molinar was supposed to be here today, but his mom passed away last Monday. So he asked, well, his dad wanted the whole family to be together in the Port Perry Church. So John asked if I could find someone, and we have Mark Jailman here going to lead us in worship today. And I was told by John that Mark and John went to school together. So, and then also, you've seen the parking lot is getting fixed up. The construction company is going to be doing the whole parking lot. They're still going to fix it up a little bit better than what it is, but it's looking a lot better than what we had, say, a couple weeks ago. So right now, I just want to welcome Mark to the pulpit and thank him for leading us in worship today.
Good morning. And it's a joy for me to be here, and thank you for having me. We're just going to go right into call to worship this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture.
Amen.
Give thanks to Him. Bless His name.
For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together with the help of God the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, His next Lord's Day. We come to the table to commune with our Lord. We come in awe and reverence, for the place where we stand is holy ground. Here the Lord offers us the manna of life. If we are to experience this celebration with our Lord and be nourished by the Spirit, let us examine ourselves first, then eat the bread and drink from the cup. The benefit is great if with penitent hearts and living faith we receive the Lord's Supper. Let us acknowledge our sin before our merciful God with full intention of amending our lives. Let us make restitution for all injuries and wrongs done to others. Let us forgive those who have offended us as we ourselves have been forgiven. All children of the covenant, be reconciled with one another, and then come joyfully to the banquet. If you are in need of help and counsel, then go and open yourself to a wise, discreet, and understanding brother or sister in the faith, and confess your sin. Receive spiritual counsel, so that you may experience assurance of God's pardon and strengthening of your faith.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our lives and our ways are like an open book before you. There is nothing we can hide from you. The spirit of true charity motivates us only fitfully. Concern for ourselves crowds out the compassion we should feel for others. The things of the faith too seldom occupy the central ground of our thinking. Sometimes we live and act as if we were not here at all. Have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, conform and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us take a minute of silence and reflection on the Lord this morning. Here is the assurance from the Lord this morning. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Sorry about that. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. We're now going to look to the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 33 and 34. The first question, number 33, says, why is he called God's only son when we also are God's children? Question 34, why do you call him our Lord?
Let us pray. Holy Father, we are yours. Firstly, you have created us out of the dust of the earth and given us life and breath so that all we have, even our very selves, are not our own, but yours by rights. And secondly, you have purchased us afresh, paying in the life and death of Jesus Christ the ransom for our souls, redeeming us from death and hell, and acquiring us as your children, purchased at a great price. As the Catechism so beautifully teaches, I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You have become our God, and we have become your people. As children greatly loved, you have bid us come into your presence and make known before you our wants, our needs, and the desires of our hearts. You have called us to be people of prayer, to have always in our hearts and on our lips our praises and petitions. So we do come before you in humility and great joy with our prayers for our land and leaders, for the church, and for the individual needs of our members. We pray for them all in our family, in the passing of the mother, wife, grandmother. And knowing when a loved one passes away, we know it is because you, God, are calling them home. and we know you will be bringing us comfort, and that someday we will see our loved ones again. Be with our ministers and elders and deacons who strive to regulate and manage the affairs of the church. Encourage and equip them. Grant them health, safety, wisdom, discernment, and much fruit in their labors. Be with our congregations and grow us in our knowledge and love of Christ, strengthening our faith. Purge us of our sins and fill us with love for one another and for our Lord and Savior. Protect and sustain us, drawing us even more and more into the likeness of Christ, sanctifying us and transforming us in the Holy Spirit. We are indeed a people greatly blessed. We rejoice in your love, knowing you work in all things for the benefit of your beloved church. We pray these things in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
For those of you who just joined us, welcome again. And I want to say good morning again to those of you who have just made your way in the church this morning. I am going to be speaking from Psalms 91. And if you have your Bibles, I would like to encourage you to turn with me there. I will be reading from the the English Standard Version. So those of you who are following, please note that I'll be reading from the ESV. And I'll give you a minute to find that. Psalms 91, and it says before we read, I will ask you to just join me in a word of prayer as we ask God's blessing upon His Word. Father, we want to acknowledge You this morning, Lord, that You are our gracious and most merciful God. Truly, Lord, there is none like unto You. God, there is none to be compared with You. Who can grasp Your infinite wisdom and who can fathom the depths of Your love? And so we thank You this morning, Lord, that we can come and to acknowledge You, Lord, to worship You, to testify of Your faithfulness and Your goodness towards us. And Lord, to hear from You most importantly this morning, Lord, what You have to say to us through the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, we ask Your blessing upon Your Word. We ask, God, that through the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, God, that You will make known Your ways to us this morning. Whatever is in store here, God, we open our hearts and ask, God, that You will speak to us. We ask, Lord, that You will remove the things that shouldn't be there and help us, so God, to draw strength from You this morning as we leave this place, Father, and to go throughout the week again and continue our daily lives and our busy schedule and whatever we need to do, God. It is You who, Lord, that promised that You will take our hands and You guide our feet and You lead us in the path of righteousness. And so, Lord, we ask, God, that You will have Your rightful place among us and speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that waits at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. And it says there, verse 10, no evil shall allow to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you with all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, and a young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. May the Lord bless His word. The title of my message this morning or today is God is my refuge. That is, God is our shelter or protection. And this morning, I am certain that over the past 2 years, each and every one of us have been somewhere or the other being impacted by the whole situation, the COVID situation that we're in. Many of us have experienced God at work in our lives and the lives of our family. And as much as we have seen God at work in our lives, God is also at work in other people's lives as well. And, you know, I just would like to take a minute to share that concerning this whole COVID situation that we have gone through and we're still in. God has been doing great and mighty work in the lives of people all across the world. And some of us may bear witness concerning our friends and our family, those whom we know. I've also known people who have been impacted by this whole COVID situation. I have close friends and family that were greatly impacted. Just recently, over about maybe I think about 2 months ago, I have a very close friend, a family friend that I knew a long time ago back in Guyana, but they live here in Canada. The mom passed away, the sister passed away, and the other sister passed away, one after the other. Three family members passed away, one after the other. And it seems like that family has lost hope and have lost to believe maybe in God. And when I spoke to one of the family members, they were devastated, they were hurt, they couldn't understand why God would take 3 members of the family. And it's just the way things are at this point in time, and you just have to comfort them and strengthen them. And I just wanted to share that this morning, that people are still struggling with all that is happening. But in the midst of all of what is happening in our world and even in some of our lives, there is this assurance that we have that God is still in control. And each and every one of us do believe that this morning, that God is still in control. And I want to say that because God is in control, that means that God is still on the throne. And it is God who brings hope, and it is God who brings comfort, and it's God who brings strength. And it is God who will take us through, and it is God who will uphold us and keep us, as the Bible says, with his right hand of righteousness. Now, I wanted to say that about the family member because as I was preparing this part of the message this morning, I just felt like just wanted to share that because I know many people are still struggling with this situation that we're in. But all hope is not lost because we serve a great and a mighty God. This past November, I just wanted to share a little about myself and family, and I guess most of you would want to know a little about myself. And I will take a few minutes to do that. I am from Guyana. My wife and I, we got married over 27 years now. We have 3 children, and we are fellowshipping at Hebron. We have been at Hebron for the past 5 years. God called us from a very strong Pentecostal background, and we've spent about 25 years with a Pentecostal ministry, and we felt the Lord call us into the Christian Reformed Church. And 10 years before that, we have been truly reformed in our theology. And when God called us, we felt it was the right thing to do to join the Christian Reformed Church. And over these past 5 years, we've been praying and seeking the Lord, not knowing what God want us to do here. My wife and I felt strongly because we've always been involved in church ministry, planting churches and being involved in ministry. We felt the call of God on our lives, and we planted a new church plant here in Ajax just this past November called Living Hope Community Church, which is sponsored by Hebron, which is also approved by classes. And it is a new church plant, like I said, Living Hope Community Church. It is an online church. There is no building. We meet people across all over Guyana, Suriname, U.S., Canada, all over, and I preach every Sunday afternoon. And I'm thank God for that. We stream everything on Facebook and on YouTube as well. And God has been doing an amazing and a mighty work in the lives of people that we're reaching. Basically, what we're doing, we're taking the gospel into homes, into the lives of people, bringing the gospel in a format that they can listen to, that they can see, whether it's audio version or whether it's a video version that they can see. And we have people joining us from all over. And I'm saying that to say that because in the midst of COVID, God is still doing a work. And Living Hope is a perfect example of that. Because of that work, we have a very active Bible study, a live group that goes on every Monday night from 7:30. We have over 25, 30 people joining us. And we do that through Zoom, and we use the technology that God has given us today to do so. And we're meeting people. A lot of people are new to the faith, and we thank God that we can go into their homes and bring the gospel to them and share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. We also started a men's ministry since then, which was about 12 to 15 men. We also started a women's ministry. We have a youth ministry. We also did an Alpha Youth program for 12 weeks. We have two children's ministry, and we have a prayer team that prays for us every Sunday. And in the midst of all of what is happening in our world, God is still doing a similar thing around the world. There are stories like that of living hope that you can hear of how God is at work in the hearts and lives of people, and reaching people where people felt that they could not have been reached. And I'm thankful that God has been using us as Living Hope as a means to take the good news of the gospel into homes and into the lives of people. And I am really happy this morning to share that with you of what God is doing. So just a little background as to myself, my family, and Living Hope community. Now, I'm going to just jump right into the message this morning that I read. And for this passage of scripture that we read this morning, for those of you who have spent time reading the Psalter, which is, you know, the compilation of the book of Psalms, which is the Psalter, know that they are rich and they are comforting. And believers over the centuries have turned to the Psalms during the time of sickness, during the time of loneliness, in times of great trouble and distress. People turn to the Psalms for comfort and strength because that's what it brings to each and every one of us. There are a total of 150 Psalms, and most of us here this morning knows that, compiled in one book, like I just said. And they are grouped in five different smaller sections or books. And I'm not going to take time to dissect them this morning, but the five books are from Psalms 1 to 4 and 42 to 47. And it just continues. So it's divided in five sections. And those of you who spend time reading the Psalms, you will notice that the first three books of the Psalms, as it's divided, you will find that the first three end with a double amen. The psalmist really ends with amen, amen. And you will find that in Psalms 4, in Psalms 72, and in Psalms 89. And then in Psalm 90 to 106, which is the fourth book, ends with an amen and a hallelujah. And then in 107 to 150, which is 150, the last Psalms end with this praise of hallelujah. And it is that God is doing a new thing. And, you know, if we take time to really study the Psalms, you will find that there is a true message of the gospel throughout for believers and for us today that we can sense as to how God was at work in the lives of people. So the compilation of this, the book itself, the Psalms, took over 1,000 years to compile, and with over, like I said, a number of writers that God has worked in their hearts. And it took 1,000 years, starting with Moses in Psalms 90, which was the first psalm. And I'm giving you just a little a background here on the Psalms, and it ends with Ezra, which is in 410 BC. And so Moses wrote the first psalms, Ezra wrote the last psalm, and we have the complete compilation of the book. But Psalms 91 itself is one of these psalms that people have turned to it with thankfulness for comfort and strength during the time of great distress. And I love Psalms 91 because it's a psalm that I find that I can always go to. And I'm sure most of you can also relate to that. It is a favorite hymn of the great Martin Luther, the one who started the Reformation in the 15th century. Because he was able to gain, Martin Luther goes to these psalms because he was able to gain strength. And that's why great Martin Luther, I think he wrote, a mighty fortress is our God. You know, words like that doesn't just come. It comes because someone who has an experience, who have experienced God in their walk and in their relationship. Psalms 91 is one of the most beautiful psalms written, and we just read it. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon had this to say, and many of you may know Spurgeon as well, a great reformer, made this a comment about Psalms 91. He says, in the whole collection, in the entire collection of all the psalms, there is not a more cheering psalm. Its tone is elevated and sustained throughout. And then he says this. He says, faith is at its best and speak nobly. And this is what he wrote about Psalms 91. And I could relate why he would say that. And I'm sure many of you this morning can relate to some of what Spurgeon says. See, Psalms 91 describes God ongoing and forever sovereign protection over the lives of every one of us. There is this sense of assurance. There is this sense of comfort when you read it. It is a psalm of God's great assurance to us as believers. Because we who are called by His name have that assurance in Jesus Christ. God gives us that assurance. Not only do we have comforting words that He will not leave us nor forsake us, but He will be with us even to the end as His promise. But we have all these compilation of these beautiful psalms put together for us so that we can be reminded of who God is. Psalms 91, like I said earlier on, is a refuge psalm that in the midst of fear, in the midst of anxiety, that we can find strength and we can find refuge. There are three things this morning that I would like to touch on very briefly. Verse 1 and 2, which is an affirmation that God is our refuge, where the psalmist says, yes, God is our refuge. Just like when we say, yes, God is love. Not love is God. It's not a reverse, but God is love means that He is the very embodiment of love. And God is our refuge because He is our protection. He is our strength. And that is the assurance we have, and the psalmist gives us that this morning. Then in verse 3 to 13, which I'll briefly touch on that, not only do we have this assurance or the affirmation that God is our refuge and strength, but is that it goes on to show how God provides us with a description of how He is our refuge and strength. That when life, when this world or things we face difficulty in life, we can be reminded that God, yes, still is our refuge and our strength. And then verse 14 and 16, God comes on the scene and reminds us and confirms that He alone is our refuge. So we have the psalmist talking about his own personal testimony and how God affirms that He is our refuge. Then we have the description of how God describes and gives us that sense of assurance. And then God confirms that to us. What a mighty God we serve, church, brothers and sisters. What a mighty God we serve. You know, I come from a Pentecostal background, and I love to move. So if you see I shift sometimes out of here, know that I am not comfortable alone just being at the back of a pulpit. I like to move, and I have that passion to, you know, and excitement when I talk about the Lord, because we serve a mighty God. Brothers and sisters, we serve a great God, an awesome God. And we must rejoice because of that. We must be joyful because of this God we serve. So Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2 is an affirmation that all those who believe in Christ, this is what the psalmist is saying, all those who believe, all those who put their trust in Him can have peace in Him. No matter how difficult your life is, no matter how difficult your circumstances are, no matter what life throws at you, even in the midst of chaos and confusion, we can still find peace with God. And this promise is for all those who trust in His unfailing love and protection. You know, I just wanted to just shift the gear a little this morning. I was talking to someone last night, and they were telling me how bad this situation is with COVID. And I says, we haven't even been faced with the worst of times. I says, if you look back in 1918 when they had the flu virus that hits the world, just like similar to what we're going through, 50 million people died. And I says, we haven't even hit there yet. Yes, it's bad. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, we're faced with that, but we haven't hit 50 million. But God is still in control. God is still in control. You see, the psalmist says, he who dwells in this secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, the word dwell is from the Hebrew word yashad, which basically means to sit down, to settle, to remain, and to inhabit. Just to do that every single day and allow God to be in control. He talks about the secret place and the shelter. It depends on what translation you use, but basically it speaks of God's good divine protection over our lives. He says, not only do we come into the secret place or the shelter of the Lord, but he says, he is the Most High God. There is none like unto our God. He is the Most High. He is the Most High. There is nothing above him. He rules and reigns, the Bible says, above all principalities and power over spiritual wickedness in dark places. And Paul declares that in Ephesians, it is the God who is highly exalted that sits far above. Everything else rules and reigns. Yet again, he comes and dwells and lives in the hearts of men and women. That is the God we serve this morning. The one who provides, the one who protects his people, because he is the Most High God, and he is my God, and he is your God, and we can truly rest and trust in him. Because if he is the Most High God, if he is above all principalities, above principalities and power, if he rules above everything else, no one else, brothers and sisters, can harm you. No one else can touch you. When you come under the protection of the Lord, because you and I, brothers and sisters, are forever assured of God's protection over our lives. And we can rest and assure of that this morning. That's why it says that we should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, this morning as believers, we are encouraged to walk daily in our relationship with Christ. We are encouraged to come and abide in him and in his presence daily. And that is what it says, the psalmist says, the secret, come into that presence, the place where God's presence and God's spirit is at work. Because only in the Lord that you can find peace and comfort, like Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are labors and heavily laden, and I will give you rest. But he didn't just stop there, and he says, come and bring all your baggage and all your load and all your weight and all your heartaches and all your pain and all your struggles. He just didn't stop there. He says, take upon you my yoke and my burden, which is light and easy. He says, you bring the load, you bring the weight, you bring the pain, you bring the tears, and leave it with me, and I will give you my burden and my load, which is easy and light. And that is the assurance that we have in God and in Christ this morning. You see, the psalmist says he protects like a mother hen protects her chick. And that is the assurance that we have, that he brings us and he watches over us. Not only did the psalmist expresses his personal faith in God. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. And we have a similar expression of that sort of a testimony of Thomas, the doubting Thomas, when the Lord appeared to him, Thomas says, "Lord, unless I touch you, unless I put my hands in your finger, I would not believe." And Lord says, "Here, Thomas, do whatever you need to do." And when Thomas did that, Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." In John chapter 20 and verse 28, he says, "My Lord and my God." And he fell on his feet and he worshiped him and he bowed down to him. So this morning, I would like to ask, what is your testimony? The psalmist says, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength." When you talk to someone over these past 2 years, or you're still talking to people, or your friends, or your family, when you talk to them, what are you saying to them in the midst of all that is happening? What do you say? What is your testimony? What is your testimony this morning when you tell someone? I would like you to think about that. What do you say about this God that you worship, this God that you serve? Spurgeon wrote, and I will quote, he says, "The blessings here promised are not for non-believers." He says, "It's not for all believers, but for those who live in close fellowship with God," he says. This assurance that we have, this promise that we have, this blessing that we have, it's not for all. And this is coming from the great Spurgeon. He says, "But for those who live in close fellowship with God, every child of God looks towards the inner sanctuary and the mercy seat, yet all do not dwell in the most holy place. They run to it at times only when they need God and enjoy occasional approaches, but they do not habitually reside in the mysterious presence of the Lord." End quote, sorry. So the question is, I'm going back, what is your testimony? Do you just run to Him only when in times of trouble, in distress, or do you go to Him every single day and worship Him for who He is and continue to sense that presence and that assurance that God brings to you every single day? Because God promised that every single day He takes our hands and He guides our feet, and He is the one that leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And even David says, "Even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff." There is that sense of assurance of the God in whom we worship, the God in whom we put our trust in. And this is what Purgeon says. So the question is, do you live each day in close fellowship with God, in that relationship that God calls us to live? And Spurgeon was saying, just don't run to Him only when you need Him, but every single day enjoy His presence. So we look at this affirmation that we have, that yes, God is our refuge. And we all know that. We all experience that in our lives. And like I said, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. So if I speak fast, just tell me to tone down or go slow, because I can go very fast sometimes. My apologies. Not only do we have the affirmation, but let's look at the 10 verses that provides a description of how God is our refuge. And very briefly, I will go through those ones, just to touch them, just for you to hear them again. And maybe you can read it when you go home and spend time in your devotion. But here is what it's saying. This is how God is, and whatever you are faced with in life, that you can just add it into here or draw it out from these 10 verses and says, yes, here is a reminder how God is reminding me that He is still my refuge and strength. Even when I fail, even when I disobey, even when I come short. The Bible says even when we fail, God, even when we remain unfaithful, God still remains faithful. When we're unfaithful, God still remains faithful. And verse 3 says, "Surely He shall deliver thee." Surely, yes, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the danger, and we can add into those things. God will deliver us from the noisome pestilence, whatever it is COVID, whatever it is, bacteria, virus, yes, God will. Yes, we're going to get those things. Yes, some people are going to be affected by it. But the thing is that we should never lose hope that God is with us. And the psalmist says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, protect you under his wings. He says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day. You shall not be afraid. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. Fear doesn't come from God. He says, 1,000 shall fall, the enemy shall rise against you, but none shall overtake you. He says, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thee. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And these things will come and happen, yes, but God still watches over and keeps us. Brothers and sisters, let us not lose hope in the God whom we serve. It is God who still protects. It is God who still keeps. It is God who watches over us each and every single day. And we can apply these verses into our lives, like I said. And each one will serve as a reminder to how of who this God that we worship. And finally, the last point is that God confirmed that he alone, brothers and sisters, not only does he affirm, not only does he show how he is, but here's the beauty about the gospel, about our relationship with Christ. God confirmed that he alone is our refuge, because he is, and there is none like unto him. Here of verse 14 says, because he has set his love upon me. Here is God speaking now. All the time you had the psalmist, you had the three person. He talks about the person who put their faith. He talks about himself. And then he gives us that a sense of a description. But here God comes on the scene. It changes. The 14, 15, and 16 verse, God comes. God appears. God says, because you, Mary, because you, John, because you, Ruth, because you have set your love upon me, you keep your eyes fixed on me. This is where God comes in and says, yes, you know all this about me, because you have set your eyes on me. You have set your love on me. Therefore, God says, therefore, the word therefore means of all the things that has been said, here God is confirming once again to you and me this morning. Therefore, I, God, he says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful to know that we serve a God that looks out and watches out for us? You know, I come from a background that is not Christianity. I used to dabble in many different things before I became a Christian. Hinduism, some Islam, mixture of some of this, because I didn't believe any of this Christian thing or this God that they were talking about. I didn't. I was running away from Christianity as fast as I can and running away from the God that I serve today. That was my life in the past. But when God saved me, when I came to know who Jesus Christ is, when God came in my life, when I was just a young boy and I surrendered my life, I realized that I was losing out so much before. And words like these, verses like these are verses that assures and comforts and bring hope that I couldn't see in Christianity. I couldn't see in a God. I couldn't understand why if this God here that says that he loves me and cares for me. And just to share a little about my history, and I'll bring this message to a close in a couple of minutes. Just a little about my history. That I lost my father when I was just a young boy, age 4. My mother already had 10 children, so my eldest was 14 when my father died, and I was 4. And my younger sister, who is much younger, she is, was 6 weeks old when my father died. And I look at that situation and I said, they cannot be a God. Because we can take my father, and you claim that there is a God, and I don't want this God. I don't want to serve him. Because he is no God. If he can take my father with and leave a mother with 10 children and no nothing, then there is no God. I don't want to serve that God. And that was my description of this God, or idea, or the way I see God. That if he exists and he's real, then I don't want anything to do with him, because he's not loving, he's not caring, because he would have never taken my dad. And I watched my mother struggle as a young boy. I watched her struggle in all her life just to make ends meet with 10 children. No help. She did not remarry again. But she knew one thing that made a difference in her life was her faith in God. And I could not understand, even in the midst of all of that, how can you serve a God like that? But my mother held out that, you know what, despite all of what is happening, God is still her strength. God is still her refuge. And she died at the age of 83, still putting her faith and her trust in God. And in because of her and her faith and her relationship with God, she prayed for me and I came to know the Lord. And I remember that day when she was, when I picked up the phone and I called her and I says, Mom, I was just 19 years old. And I called her and I says, Mom, guess what? I surrender my life to Christ. And all you can hear is tears and joy and rejoicing. And it's only until I came to know who Jesus Christ is, then I knew the kind of God that she served. Then I knew why she put faith and hope and trust in something, even in the midst of life when it doesn't seem fair and just. And she could have turned her back and says, I want nothing to do with you. But no, she held on. And despite the pain and the struggle, despite she struggles with 10 children, despite she was doing what she, God was meeting her needs, God was providing for her, but her faith was never lost. And because of her prayers, today I'm a preacher of the gospel. Because my mother never lose hope, despite her situation and whatever life throws at her, because of her love, that brought me to know who Jesus Christ is. And I surrender my life to Christ. And that's what God says. God says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He says, he has set his love upon me. He has called upon me and I will answer him. That's what I do in that church. When I was 19 years old, I go get in there and I put my knees on the ground and I surrender my life and says, Jesus, I'm going to stop running and I'm going to let you be in control. And that's the assurance he have. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And I am so excited and happy this morning because I know him. And I trust and pray that you know him as well. And I trust and pray that you will continue to put your hope and your trust in this God. Put your trust and hope in this God because he is still faithful and he is still just. And that's what he does, brothers and sisters. He comes alongside us despite all pain and all struggle and strengthen us each and every single day. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word this morning to remind us that you're still faithful, that you are still our refuge and our strength, our fortress in him. My God, will I trust. Lord, there's so much that we're thankful for, Lord, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of, God, even when we rejoice in God, there's so much we're thankful for. Thank you for once again reminding us that you are still faithful and just. And I pray this morning for every hearts and every life, God, that are here, and those that couldn't make it, Father, that you will continue to be with them and their families. God, that you will strengthen them. Lord, as they leave here this morning, God, that they will go with this sense of assurance once again, They will leave here, God, not only be reminded of your assurance, but God, that they can sense your presence with them, God, that they can sense your presence as they go back into their homes and into the lives of their family and friends. Lord God, for those that are struggling, for those that are experiencing difficulty, Lord, wherever they are, God, I pray this morning we come alongside and we stand with them. God, the words like these will assure and strengthen them to continue to trust in you and not to lose hope, not to lose faith. And Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. Thank you, oh God, that yes, you know, yes, you understand. And we want to thank you, Lord, for families that are not here this morning, God, that you will keep them, that you will uphold them. And Lord, as they listen to this message in audio format, whether it's during the week, you will speak to their heart. You will minister to them, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the thanks and all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. I think there is a song, right? Okay, sorry. For those of you, if you can stand, feel free to stand. And we're going to sing, May the Mind of Christ, My Savior. We go with these words, parting blessing from the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each and every one of us. Amen. I think I switched the order wrong. My apologies for that. Have a blessed day.